You have to be able to understand and try to comprehend with the other person how they're going to take this, because they're going to put their own emotion on your email or your text. And that's unfortunate, but there's a pretty simple way to fix that. Pick up the phone, talk to people.
Welcome to the Get Real Podcast, your high octane boost of full-on reality therapy for personal, business, and investing success with your host, Ron Phillips, because somebody's got to tell it like it is.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Get Real Podcast. Ron Phillips, Heather Marchant here. I am excited about what we're going to talk about today, because I think as we talk about things, Heather, sometimes we make it sound super simple. And I think sometimes maybe people get out there and they try this on their own and it doesn't end up being so simple.
It's not super simple.
I talk to people routinely on planes and things like that when they ask me what I do, that we make it super easy for busy professionals and business owners to actually make this happen. This thing that's just kind of out there that they want to do, but for whatever reason, they're either scared of it or they don't have enough time. They don't have the time to actually understand it. And then they're like, wow, people actually do that? And then they're like, well, so do you fly them there? I'm like, no, most people don't go see them. They're like, what? Yeah, probably like 95% of the people never see the property, even before it's sold the second time, like it's when they get rid of it. So anyway, I'm excited to talk about today kind of some of the things that can potentially go wrong and ways that they can be solved, because I mean, this is where the rubber hits the road, right?
Yeah, ways to make it easy. Because, man, we have all this stuff we've been putting in place for years, Ron, to help it be easy, right? I mean, we've tried to build systems and processes and steps in making sure that we're and getting all the questions answered up front and as much as possible, trying to, I think what I've always said to clients is reduce the turbulence. There's turbulence in every real estate transaction, but
I've never been involved in a real estate transaction that went 100% smooth, exactly how I thought it was going to go. Never.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think having your eye on the ball and knowing what's happening is super helpful. And we have a team in place to help with that over here. And one thing that came up is we had a couple clients ready to close on some properties in Kansas City, and our leasing was not going well. New construction, been under construction since about October.
And I think this is a big fear. I mean, as you listen to us, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, what happens to my property if it doesn't rent? And you know what? It's an excellent question. I think we get that question a lot from people who want to do this. And I think the other thing is that you've been listening for a while. You know what the numbers are. You know the reasons why. I mean, I hope, unless we've completely failed, you know the reasons why this is a great thing. For whatever reason, a lot of people understand that piece of it and still don't move forward. And if that's you, I just want you to understand that it's important to know the rules of the game so that you can play the game and win the game. If you never step foot on the field, you don't get the exhilaration of playing the game and you don't ever get to win.
Yeah.
So that's what I guess we're here. Like, coach is a horrible word because I am about as athletic. I'm trying to think of a really good euphemism about how horribly not athletic I am.
A really non-athletic example.
I mean, I love lifting weights and everything, but
I don't know, Ron. People would see you and say you're pretty fit. So that's so interesting.
Yeah, fit and athletic are different things, right? Give me a basketball and ask me to shoot it anywhere and it will hit anywhere but the hoop. So I'm kind of like that. Anyway, that's off topic, but having somebody who can help guide you through the process makes the process less scary, makes it easier. It helps you get into the game. That way, ultimately, you can win. And this is one of the things that behind the scenes, I think that you wouldn't know was happening. I'm not sure how you would know that this is some of the, I don't know, it's just some of the hard work that goes on behind the scenes, I guess. So with that set up, Heather, we have a problem. Properties are not leasing. What did we do?
Yeah. So we have all these systems and processes in place, but getting in the game, like you said, taking action. We have investors who've taken action and they're getting ready to close. And we know on our side that the properties have been marketed for about 6 weeks because we had the property manager start marketing them prior to completion, which is helpful, right? Not waiting all the way up until they're totally ready and ribbon cutting is happening. So trying to generate some interest ahead of time. And we had some warning flags that things weren't going well. First one was the property manager didn't reach out at all. So I reached out and said, hey, can you give me an update? How's leasing going? And she just shot me a report of how many people had called in on their ad and how many applications they'd had, which was dismal numbers. And I said, okay, so what are we doing about this? Like, we don't have great numbers. And where is it marketed? In the end, we find out over the course of about a week that it's only really put on their website. They haven't really tried to market it. And the seller was kind of leaning, obviously, on the property manager to make that happen for good reason.
Because that's literally their job.
That's literally their job. And the property manager was not proactive. So I reached out and said, well, what rent do you have it at? And you've had very little interest over 3 weeks. And she said, well, I've kept it at the very highest rent that I thought was even possible for these properties, and which was several hundred dollars more than what we had on our pro forma. And I said, okay, well, maybe we should consider lowering the rent, right? So the fact that we had to jump in and be the ones to be proactive was a red flag. Like, that's a concern.
Yeah. So if you own property and you've seen this movie, you're going, well, yeah. Okay. So now what do we do? Right.
So what we did as a team, because there were multiple people involved, is we called three property managers in the area and we said, hey, here's these addresses. Here's the details on these properties. Can you give me a rent range that you think would be appropriate? So we confirmed the rent range first. We'd already done this, but we did it again because they've been under construction. New construction is tricky, Ron. I mean, it's really difficult to pin that down while it's being built and months later it's finished. I mean, it's just really difficult to pin that number down. So we called and we talked to three different property managers. And then we negotiated down some terms and hired a new property manager to take over, fired this other property manager. And when I say we're not the seller. So this, we talked to the seller and he agreed and made that all happen. But our team was instrumental in making that happen and doing the legwork because the seller's over here trying to finish these properties and focused on that. And so we said, hey, look, here's what we think we should do. And he said, absolutely, I'm going to call right now. And so long story short, I wake up Saturday afternoon. I was awake in the morning. So Saturday afternoon, I get a text message that there's multiple applications. Monday morning, I wake up to, hey, we've got a couple of promising tenants, but one of which is ready to make a decision now. And then in the afternoon, they had an approved applicant. I mean, the movement was very different, very proactive, made a massive impact.
It's just completely different from one to the other.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself there, that's what you should do. So if you own real estate, and this can happen, and we've had this happen where we've had a property manager who's done a fantastic job for years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, because of internal change, hiring, firing, growth, there's so many things that can mess up once really solid property management company, but that doesn't help your property.
Yeah.
Their problems shouldn't trickle onto you and they shouldn't trickle onto us or any of our clients. So sometimes we just have to make a change. We have to make a shift. And that's really, really important. And that's the difference. So they did several things. Not only did they advertise it all over the place, but I think, Heather, you said they put somebody in the property.
Yes.
We have multiple of these. So I don't think you should expect that if you have one property that they're going to hold multiple day open houses for you on your property to get it rented. But where this builder has multiple of the same house, it makes total sense to sit somebody in the property with some flags and stuff. You see that with apartment complexes that are new. If people don't know that they're for rent, if they can't find it, and if they can't communicate with somebody, you're not going to get it. Now, I get these little thoughts that I get these reminders about things that happen. And I don't know about you, Heather, but I get half a dozen to a dozen calls and texts every week about somebody wanting to buy my property. And it's one thing. This is like the equivalent of having an ad on your website for these Kansas City houses. So they're paying somebody to text me or call me. So I get these calls. And typically, they're using somebody from out of the country. And look, I don't care if somebody has an accent. God bless them. I want everybody to be able to make money. That's cool. No problem. But if you're paying a virtual assistant who struggles to speak English to call someone in America where English is the first language, at least when I tell the person, hey, sure, everything I own is for sale for the right price, just have them send me an offer. At least follow up. Do you know how many people, Heather? And this has been weeks now. So there must have been some training somewhere. Somebody had an event and they told everybody that what they should be doing is cold calling people and cold texting people. And you should use VAs from overseas to do it, because now I'm getting all this. And it's just, I take these calls because I'm doing market research on your behalf. So I take these calls. Nice people. Same thing with the text. Nice robot or whatever it is that's texting me. And I, every single time I say, sure, send me an offer, because that's what they're asking me. Sure, send me an offer. Do you know how many offers I've gotten, Heather? Zero. Do you know how many follow-up calls I've gotten from the same company? Zero.
I can't tell if they're the same company, Ron. I get so many calls and text messages, I can't even tell. So I think that it's hard to know when someone's the same company, because there's so many.
I sit there and I'm thinking to myself, man, somebody's spending a lot of money to make this happen.
Yes.
And there's no follow-up. Now, this is very, very similar. So here we have a builder. Interest rates, I don't know if you know this or not, but interest rates are not inexpensive anymore for builders. They're somewhere between 8 and 10%, which used to be hard money rates. That's now the bank rates for builders. Sitting there, clocking this, right? And we've got some joker doing basically the same thing as these guys calling me. I wonder if they're even answering the phone. If it's this bad, I'm wondering, okay, well, are you even picking up the phone? Are you making an offer to anybody for rent? Like, are we doing anything? Because polar opposite, same house, nothing changed with the house. Nothing.
No.
All of a sudden, we've got all this activity. We have approved applicants and we have more people who are wanting to see the property. What changed? Only thing that changed is somebody is willing to pick up the phone and actually talk to a human being. And it's the same with these guys. I mean, I would love to sell my property in Florida. They keep texting me and calling me about it. No one will make me an offer.
I've had an offer. They're just always low balls. So I just say,
I haven't even had a low ball. I just like a ball. Can just somebody throw me the ball, please? And these are people outbound outreach. And the same thing happens with realtors. When I was actually out looking for properties, which happens more often than it probably should, I call the sign.
Yeah.
Nobody answers. Leave a message. Nobody calls me back. I wonder how anyone makes any money doing anything.
That is crazy. Yeah. Well, I was trying to look up my notes because the new property manager said they have a dedicated team. They're going to move that team on site. There was an independent agent that sat in the home on Saturday because it was hair on fire. We got to get some action happening. I know some Google ads have been up for a while. And what really made a difference was a body sitting in the house.
You know what? We've talked to you about our tech platform, which incidentally is going really well. Super excited about it. Right now you're like, yeah, I don't remember what the heck that thing does. Stand by. I think to myself, and we have this conversation internally quite a bit, I think there's a lot of tech companies in the real estate space that try to take human beings completely out of the equation. And I believe that's a mistake. I believe that's a big, big mistake. High tech without high touch hasn't proven to work very well in the real estate space. Right. So this other property management company, that's their shtick. It's high tech. We don't need humans. You just go look at the property yourself. Right.
There's a code. Yeah.
Listen, I actually kind of like that. I wish that the realtor world were more that way. I wish I didn't need to have a realtor to go look at a house. Like I could swipe a credit card or something so they know who's there. And I wish all of that were the case. But at some point in a real estate transaction, I need to talk to a person.
Yep.
Now, that point may vary from person to person, like how comfortable you are doing real estate deals. But at some point, you probably want to talk to another human being about what's going on with this property. That's really all that we're saying here.
Yeah.
If you don't have a body on site, at least pick up the phone.
It's true.
So what do you do if you find yourself in a similar situation where you have a property management company, or you're a builder or a rehabber and your realtor is similarly motivated? Or I guess similarly unmotivated. you have to fire them and move on. Well, maybe you do have the patience and the capacity to be able to sit there and just let your property, but you shouldn't have that. A little patience is okay, but not too much.
Yeah. The property manager called and was very confused why she was no longer going to be marketing the properties, which I was really surprised because we'd had no success. I don't think, yeah, no applications over the course of weeks.
It reminds me, we tried this in Northwest Arkansas with a company. I don't remember if you were involved in that or not, Heather, but we tried this high-tech property management company where it was completely hands-off, you know, whatever. It was less expensive. It sounded like a fantastic deal. And it sounded like they actually had numbers to back their whole deal up. Nothing happened. Nothing.
Yeah.
As soon as we put a human in the model with flags, funny enough, we started leasing properties. So there's a human element here you can't completely eliminate.
Yes. Oh, I'm like feeling a little bit like my blood pressure rising because I think of property management when clients reach out and say, I don't know what to do. I can't get a hold of my property manager because the property manager wants to email. They don't want to talk on the phone. And they've told me like, well, it's easier for me to track what's happening. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes people just want to talk to somebody. They just want to get on the phone and talk about it.
There is a different kind of communication that happens via text and email than happens from being in front of someone or on the phone with someone. And very similar to how we're communicating right now with you. I mean, you can hear us. Hopefully, you can feel through your phone or the radio or whatever it is you're listening to. Like, hopefully, you can feel the emotion. I think you can. And that is gone in email. It's gone in text. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times I've had to explain that to people in the company that you can't send an email. There's no feeling. So you have to be able to understand and try to comprehend with the other person how they're going to take this because they're going to put their own emotion on your email or your text. And that's unfortunate, but there's a pretty simple way to fix that. Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Talk to people. It's this lost art, like actual writing skills. I've gone completely off on a tangent here. Nobody can write anymore. Writing skills are like, they're fleeting, but they're very important too. Communication skills of all stripes are really important, especially if you're speaking with anybody over the age of 35. Because if you send me a text and for you, you put the letter U, I'm automatically judging you. Yeah. It is because I'm almost 50, people. But if you want to do business with my age group, it's two letters. What kind of time are you really saving?
It is true. There's like so many ways to be more efficient with technology anyway that you don't have to cut out letters. But I think it's important to recognize the value that property management brings to the table and recognizing the impact that it makes on a property with leasing a brand new property like this. But this is also, like you said, Ron, I mean, this goes to all other times where your property is vacant. So not being afraid to fire people is one takeaway. What else?
Listen, if you're a property manager and you're listening to this, a couple of things. As a client, as an investor, owner of property, and a person who delivers hundreds of properties to different property management companies every year, please listen. There's a couple of things that are critically important. Number one is communication, effective communication. And number two is proper accounting and the ability to be able to explain to someone simply what happened with their property. On a higher level than that, I really think that property management companies should be looking to and move towards becoming more of an asset manager, actually understanding the numbers behind why their people are doing what they're doing. Why are people owning these properties?
Yeah.
Be able to explain that to the owners who aren't investors, who don't understand the numbers. We don't have enough time on this show to go into this, but I'm telling you, if you're a property manager and you're listening to this, you should be moving that way because that's where the market is moving. If you want to be ahead of the market, that's where you need to move.
Yeah.
Property managers need to become asset managers, because the thing that you're managing is an asset of someone. They may not even know or recognize that it's an asset, but you need to start looking at it as an asset instead of just a property. You're managing people's assets, and they're very large assets, increase in value and create massive, massive generational type wealth for the people who you manage those assets for. So understanding the numbers is really, really important. And making sure that if you understood the numbers, this other property management company that didn't do a very good job, if you understood the numbers, you would understand that having a property sitting there vacant is unacceptable for 6 weeks. It's completely unacceptable. So what are we going to do to get that thing leased? Because we need to have income coming in this little business. And if there's no income coming in, it's just expenses. And most people aren't going to be able to sustain that for long periods of time. And the rest of the numbers are important as well. But if you can't understand the first number, which is the P&L that you deliver to people, man, how can you ever move to level number two, where you start to understand the other three returns that these people are getting on their properties? It's important. It's important.
And for owners out there, Ron, like on the flip side, imagine if your property manager treated your property like an asset and understood the numbers, your conversations would be very different. They would be proactively saying, hey, we've got a problem. This has been vacant. I know what that means for your numbers versus like, I'm doing all that I can.
And these are the activities that I suggest we do to get this thing filled rapidly for you. Because I also understand that while this cash flow is important, the most important thing is that you're able to sustain this asset as it grows in value, because that's where the real generational wealth is created. Mm-hmm. It's through principal reduction, which happens from a resident actually paying your mortgage down while your property increases in value. That is where the real money is made. The cash flow thing is just the operation of the business. That has to happen so that the business can continue to operate moving forward. How much cooler would it be if both parties really understood that? And if you're a property owner and you haven't transitioned into investor, reach out. We can help you understand the numbers. I mean, the podcast is great. We also have tons of trainings that are no cost. It's important.
Yeah.
Critically so.
Help you get in the game, help you win the game, all of it.
Yeah. Help you be able to stay in the game through turbulent times like we're in right now.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, Heather. At the end of this show, let's talk really quickly. I listened to a colleague of mine who is very heavily involved in economic data. It was like a 2.5 hour presentation that I gladly paid for. And she brought up something that I had not thought through. I've been now saying on the podcast for months, I don't think interest rates are coming down. I mean, if you actually look at the data, it doesn't look like the interest rates should be coming down. I think Aaron a few weeks ago, agreed with that. If you looked at the YouTube video, you can see we were trying to describe the graphs, but I mean, it very much looks like rates are going to stay really high. She made a really good point though, which we've talked about on the show, but I've actually never put the two together. And that is that commercial loans, they're in trouble. Commercial properties are in trouble. Interest rates are really, really high. And when you're an investor in a commercial property and the capitalization rate is what the cash return on investment is without debt. Okay, so if your capitalization rate is 6% on a property, if you paid cash for it, you would get a 6% return on your money annually. If your debt costs 7 or 8%, that's called a negatively levered property. In other words, you're going to make less than, usually you're supposed to make more or at least the same as if you paid cash. In that scenario, you would make less on cash flow and less of a cash on cash return. So if I'm an investor, and I need 2 percentage points or 2.5 points above the cap rate of a cap rate above what I'm paying in my interest, I can't do that right now. That lowers demand for those properties, or it reduces the price of those properties. In any scenario, those commercial properties are underwater, and we have over $2 trillion through 2025 that's coming due. That's a massive, massive amount of debt that's coming due. That a good chunk of that is underwater. It's on the bank's books right now. Her point was, hey, listen, Fed's probably going to have to lower the rate to save the banks from this onslaught of devaluation of commercial property, which is happening specifically because of the interest rates being so high right now. So interesting. I'm thinking, okay, well, nobody really knows whether the interest rates are going to come down, whether they're going to remain the same, whether they're going to go up. We don't really know. There are so many economic levers. So, moral of the story here is inflation is here to stay at least for a while. The government actually needs it to pay off the debt with dollars that are worth less. So, it's going to be here for a while. They scream they don't like it. They actually kind of do. Okay. So, we're going to have inflation and assets go up in inflationary times. So, name of the game, in my opinion, is to own assets and watch them inflate while they pay you some cash flow. And listen, if you're getting 4 to 5% in the bank and you can get 4 to 5% from a piece of property on a cash flow basis, but you have three other returns that are associated with it.
That usually kill it and are the rock stars.
I'm just saying. I mean, if you can get the same dividend that you're getting from your bank on your cash, maybe move some of that into a hard asset that does really well during inflationary times. And on that happy note, I'll get off my soapbox now. Until next week, get out there and make something happen.
This has been the Get Real Podcast. To subscribe and for more information, including a list of all episodes, go to GetRealEstateSuccess.com.